Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show.
Hey, everybody. It's Johnny B.
What's up?
I feel like I'm on death's door, man.
Sound like Steve Hillman did the other day. He came down with the same stuff.
Yeah, just out of nowhere. Got me when I went up to Huntsville.
Yeah?
Yep.
It's in the air. Well, you're not a big party animal or anything, are you?
Oh, heck no. That is like the opposite of me.
I was going to blame it on that, so saying it probably got your resistance down.
I'm about the coolest of breezes you can find.
Okay. Captain Cool Breeze.
There you go.
All right. All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay, though. That's why I come
in. I mean, do you feel bad or do you just sound worse than you feel?
Both.
A little both?
Yeah.
All right, well, good. You keep that stuff in that control room.
Don't worry.
And I'll stay over here in this studio.
I'll stay in my little box.
Hey, you got it. Stay in a box, man. All right, Johnny. All right. Well, welcome to the show, folks. Our sponsors today, Castaway Rods, Belleville Meat Market, Skeeter's Auto Service, Texan Roofing, the CCA Star Tournament. That's going to start up Memorial Day weekend right around the corner. McLean Trailers, Mainstream Marketing, and Boyd's One Stop. And if you're in a law enforcement official of any kind, peace officer or whatever, anything to do with law enforcement, you can fish free all weekend long. That's a new deal that Texas Parks and Wildlife in the state of Texas, you know, we've always had police week since Kennedy put it in time back in 62, I guess. But this weekend, Texas Parks and Wildlife will let you fish for free. Even a game warden can fish for free. Imagine that, a game warden without a fishing license. I don't think so. Well, there may be one or two, but I doubt it. All right, looking at weather this morning. It's a little breezy out there. It was blowing pretty good when I left Trinity Bay this morning. Right now in Galveston, it's 77 degrees. It feels like 78. And it's cloudy, and winds are gusting up pretty good to about 22 to 23 down there. And we're looking at morning clouds. An afternoon sunshine, high of 81 on the island. It'll be a little warmer here on the high ground. Winds will be south-southeast at 15 to 25 miles per hour. Pretty much the same tonight, 60% chance of rain tonight. Scattered thunderstorms, some could be severe. Low of 76, winds will be south-southeast, 15 to 25. And then tomorrow it's going to lay down a little bit, 50% chance of rain with south winds at 10 to 20. Just a little bit. I like to make it sound better than it really is. But anyway, looking at tides for today, we have a four-tide schedule. And these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a high at 5:54 a.m. this morning. It's a 1.7. And then we have a low at 11:48 a.m. It's a 1.2. And then a weak incoming at 3:18 p.m. It's only a 1.3. So it's going to be very little change. And then a strong outgoing tonight. A low at 10:48 p.m. It's a negative 0.2. 6:25 a.m. is sunrise. 8:06 p.m. sunset, our moon phase. It looks full, but it's almost full. It's 98%. Full moon, first one will be tomorrow night, 99%. Actually, that'll be tonight because it'll be Sunday. All right, looking at current conditions offshore, the buoy is showing southeast at 20, gusting to 27. Water temp 77 degrees. Eagle Point, we have a south wind at 17, gusting to 22. Morgan's Point is southeast at 10, gusting to 15. That may be a little bit low because when I came over the Fred Hartman, which is right there close to Morgan's Point, very windy on top of the bridge this morning. Extremely windy. So, well, that pretty much wraps her up. Tides and weather. And looking at any alerts right now, there's tornado watch up in Breckenridge and Junction, Texas. You can see that weather blowing up out there. Out west of us, that's what's supposed to come through here tonight. So, and that's that contributes to a lot of this south wind we're having right now. All that system going on up there is sucking the south wind, so it could get strong at times. All right, let's go over to Sabine Lake. Let's talk to Captain Bill Watkins like we do every Saturday morning. Start off the show with him. Bill, good morning.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. What's up other than the wind?
If anybody out there that believes that the increase of full moon is bad fishing, I wished I could put that to rest because I've had four spectacular days.
Well, that's the backside's what I've always complained about. The fishing's worse. Before the full moon and the first couple of them, you get a major fish movement. And I tell you what else is happening right now is we're going to have one of our biggest spawns of the year on this moon right now.
It's looking good.
That's why fishing's good. These males are piled up. The females are moving to them, and it's fixing to go down. And they like to squirt eggs at night mostly.
That's what's happening. I think they're going to really get a good one off this time. This
will be our biggest one of the year.
They found the right salinity level, and they're ready to go. And it's as fresh as it is. There's still, all you got to do when you get in a situation like that is just keep going south until you find some salt water.
Mm-hmm.
It works every time. It is kind of crazy right now what's going on with all the river water over here. But, man, I've had some wonderful redfishing going on, too, as well as the trout. I'm catching redfish that are anywhere from 15 inches to 28. They're mixed all in there, but the majority of them are 22s and 23s. And you talk about some pretty redfish.
Yeah.
I have no idea where they came from or what they're doing, but you get that much water in the bay, they'll stack up on the shoreline in certain places. Some places have them, some don't. But it's pretty neat. And they will sock a lure.
Mm-hmm.
Hit a variety of things, actually. I've had people throwing spoons the last 3 days, and they're hitting spoons. And, I quit fishing with spoons too much. And I think I was making a mistake by doing that.
Yeah, we've replaced them with so much other, versatile baits. We threw spoons when there was nothing else. I mean, you had old hard bait mirror lure and a spoon. You had bingos and things like that. And then when the soft plastic craze hit, kind of like the early 80s, and then it's just, it's gone rampant now. I mean, there's more soft plastic baits than you can shake a stick at.
And good ones, too.
Yeah, and they all work. I mean, it's...
Yeah, they do.
We're talking about catching speckled trout here. Fish that all they want to do is swim around and eat stuff and squirt eggs and follow the good water. And
yeah, that wasn't anything wrong with the Little John yesterday either.
No.
They'd hit it, too. So I figured the straight hook was a little bit easier, but I'll have to say the loss of a fish, it didn't happen as much on the spoon as it did on the others, and it didn't matter if it was a straight hook spoon or a treble hook.
Yeah,
they got on that spoon good enough that we didn't lose many. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, spoons draw reaction strikes, and that's why everybody goes, well, how come you always hook them in the corner of the mouth? And that's just the way that that plays out when they strike that spoon.
Yep.
And most of the time, sometimes you'll hook them through the top lip or through the nose, real hard through the head. And that's what we used to hate in redfish tournaments, fishing with those weedless straight hook spoons, is if you hooked a redfish in the top of the mouth and it came out through his nose, he's a dead man. He's done. That fish
will
not
live. You can't hardly kill them otherwise.
No, but you punch them through the nose like that with a straight hook, and it'll kill them every time.
That's something, isn't it?
Isn't that weird? Because you can practically drag a redfish behind your boat on a stringer for about 30 miles an hour to the next lake and turn him loose, and he'll swim off. But they're tough, man. They are hardy.
Yeah, you can catch and release is not a hard thing with redfish.
And no.
We've been doing that, too. I mean, I'd let them get 15. I had three people on the boat each day. I'd let them get their 15, and then we'd
Gosh, that's a lot of redfish, man. 15.
Just catch a few and let them go. Yeah. But one day we caught 40 sitting in one place. That was, I mean, that's not anywhere near my record, but it was still a lot of redfish to catch in one spot. And every one of them was keeper sized.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Well, for you, you got a big, wide, variable slot over there. What, 16 to 27?
16 to 27.
That's a lot of inches.
And you can have one over 27 a day.
Yeah, per day. That's right. Without a tag. Yeah. I'll be darned.
Yeah, we'll keep one like that every once in a while.
Pretty liberal limits there, bud.
But the trout, we're not catching any big trout. We're catching some fine, healthy ones that will go 2 and 3, but not that many of those. But my average fish is about 17 right now. And lots of little males we throw back. A lot of almost 12s or just barely 12s, we'll throw them back. And today might be a challenge on that with that wind blowing that hard. We'll see. They've kind of, trout have kind of gone to the reefs right now. And there's some trout way up the bows, way up there. And there's some fish over at Keith Lake Fish Pass and some places like that. But you can't keep a lot of them over there. A lot of 14s on Texas side.
Yeah.
And if they lower the limit, there'll still be a lot of 14s. I don't know. We'll see how all that works out. It'll be interesting to observe.
Well, it's like we've lost an entire size class of fish for a year or two range there. You know, from the big flood before Harvey and then the Harvey, the finish them off flood. It's like that biomass of fish is just gone.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something did happen there that I can't quite put my finger on, but it did happen.
I mean, you're either in too small a fish, you know, especially over here, you're either in too small a fish because, you know, our limit's 15-inch minimum. And then you have just like an age class of fish that are just not even there. Every once in a while you'll catch one, but you either catch non-keepers or the ones you catch are, you know, like 2 and 3 pounders. You're missing that, all those 15, 16, 17 inchers that should be real common there. It's like we lost that whole one spawn or something. I don't, it's weird. I can't explain
it. That's kind of, I'm seeing the same thing. It's true. There's an awful lot of new little ones out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Lots of 11 and 15 16ths and 12 and 1/8. Quite a few of those.
Yeah, that's too close to keep for me.
That's too close to keep.
If
I got to wiggle them all over.
I get a little shrinkage on those on ice.
Yeah, I'm scared of that. So.
Hang on, Bill. Let me do my commercial break, and we'll come back and continue this conversation. I'll be right back with you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this breezy Saturday morning, 419 in the Bayou City. Let's go back over to Sabine and talk some more with Bill Watkins. All right, Bill, we're back.
It might be a little too breezy today.
It's a little bit. I was looking over your way. It's at Sabine Pass Coast Guard Station, it's 17 over there right now. And up in Port Arthur, it's 13. Out of the south.
That's tolerable. I can handle 17.
Yeah, and then what's this one here? Texas Point is blowing 25 out there on Texas Point. I don't know why they just don't call that the jetties.
They probably should. Well, I can fish the lake and catch some redfish today.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure my folks will enjoy that, but I would rather go. I'd like to catch those trout, but, boy, the wind, you know, on them open shell reefs, that wind gets pretty tough. And we caught some yesterday, and I know it was gusting over 20, no problem.
Yeah, it got pretty breezy.
Yeah, it was honking is what it was doing.
Yeah.
And the tide is going out so fast over here, the power pole won't hold by itself. You got to have something else to help you. Golly.
Oh, yeah, this is anchor weather, not power pole weather when it's blowing
this. I had the anchor out on one corner with a shock cord on it and the power pole on the other corner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think two power poles. Well, you can't get it through the shell. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If some of those shell reefs are so hard that when you stick that power pole down, it just scrapes across the top of it. And if you can ever get it to penetrate into the mud below, you got it then if it don't break the thing off.
Drift those power poles across that shell making all that noise. That's a good fish call. call a drum in anyway. It sounds like you're cracking oysters. But
it makes a heck of a noise, that's for sure.
You know, with these winds, we've had coastal flood advisories. This morning you got one in Corpus, got one in Rockport. Galveston even has a coastal flood advisory. That means there's way above normal tides due to this wind.
It's been up in the parking lot.
It's even blowing up at Rayburn. Broadus, Texas has a lake wind advisory on Sam Rayburn. So.
Yeah, and that place is an inland ocean. As is Toledo Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Those two lakes, man, I think they had a fatality up there last Sunday. I don't know if they're still looking for that guy or not. But
oh, really?
Yeah. That's,
I hate to hear that.
Out there in some wind. I mean, it's just a big piece of water. And them deep swells.
Yeah, and freshwater boats aren't made for that kind of water.
Yeah, you have to be real careful about it. I remember when I first got my first master, 21 Master Angler I thought I had me a heck of a boat. I said, I can get out there in that Rayburn or Toledo and I can run, man. You know, my last bass boat was a 20, and I said, this boat's going to be way superior to that. Shoot. I got my first northwest wind out there, and I think I must have stuck four waves with that center console before I got back to the landing. Had to go downwind, you know.
Yeah,
I
had
and
to do a little
I promise
tacking.
You, hey, I was thanking God for a self-bailing boat.
Yeah.
I was filling up that little cockpit on some of those waves. She'd shudder and pop back to the surface.
Wow.
I learned
bass
right
boats
away.
Won't do that. You fill that compartment up. I mean, you can't get all that water out of there quick enough.
Oh, heck no. Well, I learned not to be so frisky with my little cute 21 flats boat. The boat I got now is 22 foot, and it's if you'll just slow down, you can do it. But those swells in those big lakes, that's deep water, and they get the troughs get way down there. You get to get too frisky and planing too fast, you'll stick one. There you have it. You're going to get wet, at least your feet. See, I stuck a couple I thought was going to rip the console off. You look up and it's nothing but dark green water coming at you. How did this happen?
Yeah. And no greater force than the force of water.
Yeah, that's right. And it'll rip depth finders off the bow and rip trolling motors off.
Hey, I've seen some wicked-looking rigs come in after a nasty, gnarly ride back to the dock. I can tell you that. They're just destroyed.
Yep. Now these bass guys have got four big old 12-inch screen TVs on the boat, two on the dash and two on the bow.
Yeah, you got to ripping those off. That's big money there, brother.
I don't know how they keep all that stuff on there in a blow. You got to be careful, I guess. I love that fine electronics, but, you know, a couple of them is enough.
I would think.
I see them with four all the time.
Well,
I
mean, that way you got your big-time GPS screen, big-screen GPS, and then big-time big-screen depth finder right next to each other. You don't have to split the screens.
Yeah.
And you can really, really look it over good.
Well, you know, you're sitting there with $10,000 or $12,000 worth of electronics sitting on a boat. That's out there.
Nowadays, it's more like 20.
Yeah, you can
No, really, they'll get $20,000 in electronics, and then you got all your power pole stuff, jack plates, and just accessories on a boat ends up being more than the hull cost.
That's
just
right.
About.
Yeah, it used to be like $1,000 for each. Now it's like two.
Yeah, and then you throw that little old cheap $30,000 outboard on the back of it, and we wonder why boats are running $90,000 and $100,000. You know, that's pretty much
that's
the norm.
Exactly right. That's why they're out of my range of affordability. Good Lord. I have trouble even, you know, about every 3 or 4 years, your GPS is going to fade out on you because it's just the sunlight is so hard on that stuff. And I keep mine on all the time. I use my GPS.
Oh, yeah.
I use it daily, all the time. I mean, pinpoint fishing, it works. I can triangulate really good, but the level that, I mean, a lot of times that you're so far out there and it's hazy or whatever, it's hard to do that. Boy, that GPS will put you, you know, within 5 or 6 feet of where you want to be every time. It don't matter if it's nighttime, fog, rain, or what. And I marvel that there's a lot of people have that stuff, and it either ain't working or they don't use it. But, man, you can, once you map out an area, and it takes time, but once you get an area mapped out, see, I'd be crippled if that thing broke.
I'm telling you.
I'd have to have another one right away. I keep an updated SG card all the time. So if something happens to my GPS, I can upload it to another one. It's just critical.
Well, we can actually catch fish without that stuff. We did back in the day.
Yeah, you
but boy,
can.
That'd be tough to go back to old school, and this new stuff will spoil you.
Yeah, all of that don't make reading the water go away.
You
do all that other stuff. It just makes it so much easier to return to a one little spot. Where you got a little trough going through a reef that's about a foot or 2 foot deeper than that reef, and you can get where it corners where those fish have to come right by you when they're moving.
Yeah.
And stick that thing in the shell and sit there and wait, and when they come by, you're there, and you're not making any noise. You're just sitting real quiet, and that's worth having. It takes a lot of the guesswork out. Now, if I had the one with the mega imaging, I could actually see the fish on the side scan. That would be really cool. You know, I've been fishing a school of redfish in a couple of spots, and if I had that kind of side scan, I could actually see those fish in that 3 and 4 foot water. They're not making any commotion where you can tell they're there. They're not busting bait or nothing like that. They're just laying on the bottom. And you could idle by that place out there, you know, 65, 70 feet out and see them.
Well, that side imaging is just unbelievable, especially when you bass fish. You can find so many brush piles like that.
Oh, golly.
I mean, just, you know, you just idle into a cove and you can look on the screen, and on both sides of the boat, they look like beaver dams on the bottom out there.
Yeah.
So look at all the brush piles in here.
Yeah, the brush piles can't hide from side scans.
No, that's the end of that.
Put a brush pile out there, somebody's going to find it in a few days. They're going to be sitting on it.
Yep.
And you don't own them. When you turn them loose to the lake, it's everybody's brush pile.
Yeah, it's everybody's property. But you'd be pretty chicken to go fish somebody else's brush pile they built.
Yeah. There's a lot of chickens out
there. Yeah, there is. It's kind of like, you know, somebody builds a big, fine, nice duck blind on the bay out there that's public hunting, and then you get to it opening morning and somebody's sitting in it and they won't leave.
That causes hard feelings.
Yeah, it does. And guess what? Both parties have guns in their hands.
Yeah.
They work it out without shooting each other.
Well, if I was guiding crappie or something like that, I would not fish. You know, commercially, I wouldn't fish another man's brush pile like that.
I know.
But you know, the average Joe citizen out there, he's just out there looking for a place to fish, and he don't know who put that pile down there. He has no idea. So, you know, for the guy to come up there and yell at him, that ain't doing him no good. It's just causes conflict.
Make for some
no
good
reason.
TV. We could have some brush pile wars on the Outdoor Channel.
Hey, that would be a good one.
Just like the reefs and everything else, and during the trout run, it's fishing season.
Yeah.
All right, man. I got to run, Bill. Well, good luck today in that wind, and might as well go get those redfish while the getting's good.
Yeah, I'll just do that, because when the water goes down, they'll move.
All right,
brother, have a good one.
Throw them out a number, bud.
409-786-2018.
rfishsabinelake.com.
That'd be it.
All right, man. Take care, Bill.
I'll do
See
it.
Ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I remember his shift cable was broke. Remember he had a coat hanger coming out from under the cowling where he'd shifted into gear back and forth? Boy, we used to do some limping back in the day, didn't we?
We used to limp. If you want to hunt fish in Texas,
better listen to the Outdoor Show. This little Mexican guy told me how to get down in there. He said, yeah, you need the Jeep. So if we head down and we're going through the jungle and we just run out of road or any kind of clearing, old Bill that was with us, old Bullet Bill, he gets out of the Jeep, said, I'll walk down. I'll keep going this way and see if I can find that lagoon. Well, we're stopped, and he gets out of the Jeep and takes off through the jungle. We're sitting there about 5 or 10 minutes. Block goes, man, we may have to go check on him. Something might have ate him on the way. Well, here comes Bill coming back out, and he said, I don't think we want to go down there. There's nothing but clean fish carcasses everywhere. It looks like this place might be fished out. Yeah, we're laying all over the bank. And then my wife looks over to the right and said, oh, my God. I said, what? And there was a human skull laying on the ground in there. And we decided, let's go back to town.
Yeah.
This is might not be a good place for us.
Find out what they're biting on from Baffin to Sabine, Big Lake to Matagorda, and some places in between.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this breezy Saturday morning on its topless Jeep weekend down there at Bolivar this weekend. So I heard you can stir them with a stick down there. They're thick. So you headed down that way. Be safe. I saw where the wait on the ferry this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning was 90 minutes. Probably at prime time today, that'll be a couple hours or better. Or it may be prime time all the time down there this weekend. Good luck to anyone down there in the middle of that. I wish them the best. All right, let's go up to Lake Conroe, where it's pretty laid back this morning. Go to Richard Totch. Hello, fish dude. What's up?
Not a lot, Mickey, not a lot. I guarantee you. I'll tell you what, the morning's starting off right, though. First cast with a cast net. I caught about 16 shad and about a 3-foot spotted gar.
Oh, boy.
That rascal, we kept trying to stick his nose through my net, and I tried to keep getting him going backwards. If you can get him to go backwards pretty quick, you're all right. But I think he got his head through there pretty good.
So, and how do you get a gar to go backwards?
Yeah, it's hard. you gotta jerk him up and shake him quick, because that sucker, once he gets his old snout through them, that webbing on this net, he'll poke a hole right through it, and it'll be as big around as him. And I think he's already got one just about that big, and he's probably 6 inches around. So it's like, good night. How do you start the morning with the very first cast and catching a dang old swordfish? That just don't make no sense.
Yeah.
But it's, because normally I can see them swimming around in the lights, you know, when I got them on out here. They'll normally swim around. When I see them, I'll just throw them on the other side. That way they'll hear that noise and leave, and then I can throw back over on the other side. And just swap back and forth, and them rascals, they'll keep on moving around. But yeah, normally you see them. This knucklehead here, he was just under there for some reason. He must have been eating on them little bit of shad that was down there when I threw that net the first time. But, oh, well, it is what it is. I'm going to catch me some more here in a little bit. Them hybrids have been fired up. Good night. We wore them hybrids out yesterday. So we had 20.
I saw that. Y'all had a pile of them, buddy.
Hoo-wee. And we got on them crappie a little bit, but we had a mix of small ones and big ones, and just never really got a good strong bite going with them. And then my dang live well pump quit on me, and so I was fiddling with it, and the fish were dying. I kept throwing them in the cooler. Well, dang cooler got full. And I mean, it was full. The lid wouldn't close, none of that. And I'm sitting there going, well, after a little bit, you don't want to spoil your fish. That was one of my big concerns with yesterday, because it's starting to get warm enough and the fish were dying on me, because like I said, that live well pump quit. And when it quits, I mean, you just don't have hardly any time, especially with the hybrids, before they're just going to die. Because they have to have that fresh, and they need cool water. Live wells will hold them for a little bit this time of year, but typically no more than about hour and a half, and that's if you got a good one that's running all the time. So, you know, and that's just the way they are. Once the water starts heating up, they lose oxygen, and they die really quick. So, like, if you get them out of the water, say in June, and you go take a picture with them, you say, hey, I'm gonna throw it back. It's probably gonna be dead before you throw it back. They die amazingly quick. Like June and July, as it gets hot. You'll literally pull one out and lay him on the deck to get the hook out of his mouth, and you might have another one on. As soon as you get him in the boat, reach down there and grab that one, unhook him, throw him back, and he'll float every time. I mean, that's, you know, like I said, that's in July and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's just kind of a strange thing, you know. But I've just watched it over the years, and there's been several trips where we catch a bunch of them and try to throw them back as quickly as possible, and they still start popping up. And we just, you know, hey, let's just quit doing this, because it's, you know, I don't mind catch and release, but if they're going to die, we're not going to do it, you know. So
what kills them?
Well, they get a lactic acid buildup, you know, kind of like the saltwater fish do. And, you know, because they're fighting so hard in the water, and then when they come out, they just have to have a lot of oxygen. And the warmer water is, you know, less oxygen, and the cooler water. I can keep them alive in a live well all day in the cold weather. Can't keep them alive, you know, more than a couple of hours in the warm weather, just because of the lack of oxygen in the warm water. And, you know, what you're doing with your live well is you're sucking the surface water up. They're down there, you know, 20 foot deep where the water's cooler. You know, it might be 10 degrees cooler down there. So, or even 30 foot deep. And so as they go deeper, they're going for that cooler and cooler water, and the surface water is warmer and warmer. Because like in July and August, we'll have 90, 95 degree surface temps. You know, right now we're running 78, 79 as it is. So we got, you know, the water temps are getting up, and that now down there in that deeper water, it's still cool. So they're, you know, they're breathing that oxygen-rich water down there, you know, because it's cool. And, you know, I don't know what the saturation rates or anything like that are of oxygen in the water. But, you know, once you start kind of figuring stuff like that, and, you know, there's people out there that are a whole lot smarter than I am that know that stuff, and how the different levels of the water column have different layers of oxygen in them. When you find that densest layer of oxygen, that's where your most fish are going to be. That's the thermocline. That's normally what you see on these lakes in the summer. You'll start to see a thermocline show up, and it'll be at a specific depth. And whenever you see that depth, that's where your coolest and warm, your cool water and warm water hit. And it may only be 5 foot thick. It may be from, say, 10 foot, you're in 30 foot, it'd be 10 foot from the surface all the way to the bottom. So you got 20 foot there. And it's just weird at times, because sometimes it's literally a thin line that's only about 3 foot thick, and you'll see it. You get your sensitivity turned up on your units real, real strong and you run across the lake and you'll actually see just a line down there at a specific depth, whether it be whatever, 15, 18, 25. And whenever you see that line, just start looking. I mean, in those depth areas, find where the water, where the, like the channel edges and points come up to that depth. Start fishing that depth. That's where all your fish are going to be.
Yeah.
Because that's where all your bait's at. That's where all the oxygen's at. That's where everything wants to live. You know, it's right there in that one little thin line. But you got to find that thin line. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that comes from experience on the water. And I know you know it, but it's, you know, you've been out there long enough. Anybody's been running electronics for a while, they know about thermoclines and summertime and how to, you know, how to read them and how to fish them and stuff.
Yeah,
like
we
that.
Don't get a distinct one here on the coast like you guys do on the lake because we have so much moving currents, you know.
And, right.
But, you know, in the dog days of summer, you can detect it and see it a lot, you know, especially on slack tide and things like that. And
right.
See, the fish definitely feel it, man. They stay under it.
They do. They'll stay right there. I mean, they're going to live right real close to that thing. I mean, they'll be right under it, right in it. They'll be feeding in it is normally what I find. They're feeding in it. Because like yesterday, the strangest thing was, you know, those hybrids, we literally sat on those hybrids for a good, oh my goodness, we probably sat on them for 30, 45 minutes before I actually figured out what they were doing. You know, I'm sitting there watching them on my depth finder, and I'm going, why aren't they eating? They just would not eat a thing. And I'm going, dang, and I kept looking at them. And they, you know, because on these ranch units, I'm telling you, when you sit on top of them, it is absolutely amazing. I mean, you can see them just arching up under you, and you got your baits hanging down there. But what I had to do is I had to drop down a little bit deeper. I was a little bit above them, a little bit above where they actually wanted to feed. So, and that happens sometimes. A lot of people, most people get below them. 95% of the people that try to fish for hybrids are fishing below them every time. And that's one thing about them. They don't like eating on the bottom. They will eat on the bottom, don't get me wrong. But you'll catch, you know, 1,000 more fishing above them than you will below them.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, it's just one of those things. And it's, you know, you just learn that stuff over the years. And you know, hopefully us talking about it kind of gives people a little leg up on what to do and how to find them anyway, you know. That's what I'm hoping for, because, dang, I'm going to get old one of these days and I ain't going to be able to do it no more.
Well, burn that midnight oil. You never know when they yank the rug out from under you, man.
I know it. Thing is, I'll be almost as old as you for long.
Well, you better hurry.
I'll try to get there. Ain't no doubt. It's all fun, though. That's the main thing. As long as you're having fun with it. That's like these storms are supposed to be rolling in today. I thought that's it late this evening, ain't it?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. And last Saturday, they said they were going to come later, but... my wife planned her grocery shopping around that. It didn't work out. It still got her early in the morning.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, it is Texas, man. Just take what it deals you.
That's what you got to do.
That's it. All right, Richard, I got to go to Charlie next down in Matagorda. So if somebody wants to come up and experience it, give them a number. Throw it out. He left. What happened? He did. You know, that happened a couple of weeks ago. That is so strange. Well, I didn't hear it in my headset. I was hearing something else. But anyway, if you want to call Richard, here's his number, 936-661-7920, 936-661-7920. And let's check these winds out again. Looks like in Galveston Bay, it's a steady 19 out there on the channel, Eagle Point, and it's 21. North Jetty is 22. Over at Texas Point, Sabine Lighthouse, all that area, 25. Coast Guard Station at Sabine is 25. So, got a little breeze this morning, a little bit of a breeze. Charlie Paradosky, good morning, sir. What's up?
Good morning, Mickey. What's going on?
Oh, man, it's all good.
Just walked out to my truck and it blew my hat off.
Yeah, I bet it did. All that hair you got, I'm surprised it blew off. It usually keeps your hat on.
I got a lot of hair, yeah. Yeah, buddy. Must have turned some tournament people loose because there's already been about 6 boats go by out here.
Oh, yeah. It's a tournament weekend. I heard in that Babes on the Bay down in Rockport and Aransas, there's like 1,500 women in that tournament.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's our biggest one. It's bigger every year.
Yeah, that's real big.
Yeah, I don't know. Just seems like we're just always fighting the weather. I don't ever get a break.
I know.
Wind, rain, won't go away.
It's not fair.
No. Now, do we have a front coming? I mean, are we supposed to get a north wind Monday? Or
no, I don't think so. They're not showing for it to go north. It's supposed to stay southerly. If it does, it'll be brief.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to start cranking again. You know, next week. I know there's, tomorrow after all this comes through tonight, they're still showing a south wind at 10 to 20.
Boy, oh boy.
But I was looking at radar earlier. It's really built up out there, you know, west, where it always does. All out around Breckenridge and San Angelo and Abilene and Menard and Brady, all that air junction area, they got tornado warnings out this morning. Wow. That's what's sucking all this wind, man.
Yep.
A little bit of light stuff building up around San Antonio and out by Uvalde and Brackettville. It's real light, though, but a few little showers up around just above Sea Drift and Port Lavaca and Victoria. They're real light, though.
Well, I know we go through this every year at this time, but it just seems like it's happening too much lately.
I know. It seems like it gets worse every year.
Jesus Christ. Well, is Colorado River still running as hard as it was a week ago?
Yeah, all the rivers on the upper coast are running like nuts.
You get out in the middle of East Bay, and there's a big pocket of fresh water, clear water out in the middle. I can't figure out how it's holding out there like that. But, I mean, right out in the middle of the damn bay, and of course, that's where the fish are. It's hard to deal with all this wind, but
right,
it's what you got to do. All the redfish are out there. All the trout are out there.
Well, at least you got them located.
But,
with everybody else, huh?
With everybody else.
Oh, boy.
That's right. Now, the boys that fish for redfish every day on mud flats, they're catching theirs. But, and it seems like that bites right in the middle of the day, too, like from 10 to 1.
Oh, I just got a text from our buddy Robert Cervillo. He said there's 300 boats in the shallow sport tournament today, too.
Wow. I think there's 3 tournaments out of here today.
Yeah, that's what Tommy was saying. He thought there was 3.
3 tournaments and then some big groups. So it'll be a zoo.
Yeah.
Got to do what you got to do.
Allie, your Astros won 9 in a row last night.
Man, it's just scary watching them. I mean,
they're like a time bomb. Fire, I mean, you know, you knew it when Mareznick led off with that single and then Springer comes up. It's always in the back of your head. Well, here could be another Springer dinger. And bingo, there it was.
Was that number 17 or 18?
17, I believe. Yeah, he's he's kind of good. Bregman's kind of had to take a back seat to that this year.
Oh, he'll catch up.
Yeah. I want them to start getting real highly competitive with each other and just have a home run derby on the team, just try to outdo each other big time.
Yeah. Poor old Altuve's got to sit and watch.
I know it. You know that's killing him.
Yeah.
He just he never found his rhythm yet this year. Maybe he'll rest up and then he'll jump in and just – hey, one goes down, another one steps up. We're stacked, man. We're stacked.
It's just fun to watch them.
It's a shame Cole didn't get a decision last night.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. We won. That's all that matters. All right, Charlie. Well, good luck out there today in the midst of all of that.
Yep. I am walking out the door.
You're going to need it. All right, man. Keep that hat on and throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come down and hook up.
713-725-2401.
All right. Say hi to everybody out there. There's going to be plenty of them to talk to today.
Take care, man.
Charlie, see you, buddy. All right.
Bye-bye. Later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.